Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from two verses in the Gospel of John. The first is in our text today where Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And then something he said in John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, that last verse I read is one that's very easily misunderstood by even the best Christians, in the most learned Christians. And it's a very easy thing to get wrong. And I was thinking about how we can get that wrong, and I was reminded of a time in my life where someone had the same kind of lack of logic, okay, that I was confronted with. I've mentioned this a while back, I think, at the seminary when I was still there. They don't do this anymore, and they didn't do it when my dad or grandpa were there, but they did when I was there. They had a theological interview where you were interviewed, and it was a knowledge test. So you had to sit in front of three professors, and they could throw any question they thought you should know the answer to after 4 years, and they could ask on anything. I sat down with these three guys, and one of the professors I'd never had. And I was doing really well. I mean, I was answering stuff. I was feeling very good about myself until the last professor, who I'd never had, started asking questions. Every question he asked was on the history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which is not the most important part of a seminary education, by the way. And I'd say he asked me 15 straight questions, and every time I said, "I don't know. I don't know." 15 times. It was horrifying. I'd never had the class, okay? And then they excused me, and so they could talk about me and see if I was fit to be a pastor or not. And my entire life is hanging in the balance. I've been shooting for this moment since I was in the third grade, and now it depended on this. And the last 15 questions, I said, "I don't know." They kept me waiting 45 minutes, okay? Now, as it turned out, I don't know if for me this was a general knowledge test. I think it was more of a psychological test. Because when I got it back in there, this professor who asked all the questions I didn't know just let me have it. He says, "What in the world have you been doing for 4 years? You have wasted everyone's time and everyone's money. It's a complete waste of time. What have you?" I mean, he just let me have it. So finally, I just said, hey, I interrupted him. I go, "Look, we're in the registrar's office. You can see I haven't had a class on this yet, on the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod." And that's when Professor Wayne Schmidt, may he rest in peace, held up the transcript, my transcript for the seminary, and he smiled at me and he said, "Yeah, we just saw that." Now, I'm assuming they wanted to see if I was going to punch somebody, okay? I didn't. Held my temper, got up, and walked out. So I think I'm the only one at the seminary who still to this day doesn't know if I passed my theological interview. Now, they gave me a call, all right? They graduated me. And I got ordained really quick, but, you know, hey, I don't know what to tell you. I might not be a pastor. Who knows? But you see, the thing is that the guy was asking me questions on a class I hadn't had. Who here knows the date of the Altenburg debate? I don't. In fact, I refuse to learn it, okay? But you have to have a class to learn that. You don't start growing. You're born with this knowledge. And we could have the exact same problem with this verse. If you love me, and do my commandments, follow my commandments. First of all, what Jesus doesn't say is he doesn't say, if you believe in me, follow my commandments, or if you go to church, follow my commandments, or if you're a Christian, he says, if you love me. And so we have to really define what that means, what that love means. Because God's love for us and our love for him are two very different things. Jesus Christ loves us despite who we are and what we have done. We, on the other hand, love Jesus Christ for the very reason of who he is and what he has done for us. In other words, it is a response to who he is and what he has done. Now, I want to make this very clear, and this is one of the ways we can get this verse wrong. You can't define loving God as keeping God's commandments. We're going to talk about that later. That's when you run into real problems. So our love for Jesus Christ is caused because God has given us faith to see Jesus, to know what he has done, to know his love and care and comfort in our lives. That's why we love him. To look at an old parable that's often used in scriptures, the lost sheep. The sheep is lost. It knows it's lost. It hears a sound. Something's coming around the corner. It could either be life or death. And around the corner comes the shepherd. And it's a good shepherd. But it's more than that. It is the shepherd of this sheep. And the sheep knows this shepherd, knows how it's cared for it and tended it and fed it and watered it all these years, and now knows that his good shepherd has brought him salvation. And when the eyes of that sheep see his good shepherd, then the heart is filled with love for that good shepherd. That's the love that we have for Christ. Now that's the first half of the verse. That's the easy part. Okay? The second half is the tricky part. If you love me, keep my commandments. And of course, we're going to naturally say, well, am I keeping his commandments? No, occasionally, and not very well. And seemingly then, this entire relationship that is defined in this verse just falls to pieces. Because we don't. And one big, real big problem is we define the words commandments way too narrowly. And we often only see the commandments of God as the moral commandments. Do this, don't do that. And because we only look at it as the moral ones, we realize we fail in these. And because we fail, then all of a sudden we feel like we have lost this relationship. Well, there's a whole lot more than just moral commandments. I mean, most of the commandments, in fact, aren't really based on morality. It's not do this and don't do this. Think of all the commandments that Jesus makes that we don't think of as commandments, where Jesus says, abide in me. Well, that's a commandment. Or love me, or listen to me, or trust in me. Those are commandments. Or, the greatest of all, follow me. Now, we don't often think of them as commandments, because they're not do this and don't do that, but they are. I'll give you one story from the Bible to illustrate this. The story of Jesus when he heals the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, you know, the pool that got bubbly, and whoever got in first got healed. A couple months ago, we were doing a Bible class looking at episodes of The Chosen, and seeing how close it is to Scripture sometimes, and other times it's not, and possibly why they make that change. And we looked at this episode that showed this. Now, at first in the episode, it seems to be pretty close to the text. Okay? Jesus comes up to the guy, and he says, do you want to be healed? And the guy never answers this question. He just complains that he can't get in the water when it's bubbly, and so he can't get healed. Then at that point, it kind of strays from the text a little bit, and Jesus says, you know, the pool's not going to help you. I'm going to help you. Now, even though that's not in Scripture text, it certainly represents the spirit of the Bible story. So I'll give that one a pass. But then it moves into very close to Scripture where Jesus simply says to the guy, pick up your mat and walk. And he picks up his mat and walks. Now I'm going to make a very painfully obvious point. Was this man, by picking up his mat and walking, is that how he was healed? No. He was healed, and that's why he could pick up his mat and walk. One comes before the other. I mean, we don't keep the commandments so that we show the love of God and prove it. 2,000 years, Christians have been getting that verse wrong, and it causes all kinds of problems. Where we look at that and we say, well, if I'm not keeping the commandments, then I don't love God, so I better do better, or I'm going to go to hell. Do you really think that's what Jesus had in mind when he spoke these words to his disciples? He's speaking these words on Monday, Thursday. This is before the worst couple days of the disciples' lives ever. And he's speaking these words to encourage them. So is Jesus telling them that if they fail in some way, which they're going to, betray him, deny him, run from helping him, if they do these things, they don't love him? That wouldn't encourage them. And is Jesus saying that to us, who he knows us better than we know ourselves, as sinners in a sinful world? That's not encouraging at all. What he's saying is he's given us faith to see his love, to see his support. Again, the lost sheep finally sees and recognizes not just the good shepherd, but his good shepherd, and knows that he will now live and he has salvation in that shepherd he's known so well. And if he could speak, he'd say, "I'm alone." And the shepherd would say, "Not anymore." And the sheep would say, "I'm injured." And the shepherd would say, "I'm here to heal you." And the sheep would say, "I'm weak." And the shepherd would say, "But I'm strong." And the sheep would say, "I'm lost." And the shepherd would say, "I'm your way home." We've been given a faith from God through the Holy Spirit to see and recognize our Savior Jesus Christ. That's why we love him, because we know what he is in our life. And that love then leads us to joyfully keep those commands as best we can. One comes before the other. And the greatest commands are Jesus saying, "Abide in me." And we say, "In whom else would we abide?" And then he says, "Follow me." And as his sheep, which he's created, we follow him. In Jesus' name, amen.